This is Father's Day. Here's a message for the dads today. Watch the screens.
Hey, Dad, you got a sec? There's something I want to tell you. You rock. I'm talking about all you dads. You're awesome. You're so smart and strong and funny, and you're always doing cool stuff. Like when you do that thing where you throw me up in the air and catch me, or when you spin me around, I feel like I'm flying. It's the best. I'm not very strong, but I feel like I can do anything because of your strength. You might want to watch it when Mom's around, though. Sometimes she gets a little nervous. Oh, and I love it when you're building and fixing things around the house. It's so cool how you bang on stuff and make a bunch of noise. And when you let me help, it's so great. I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but I feel like I can't mess up as long as you're right there with me. And when you act all goofy, it's so funny. Seriously, I can't stop laughing sometimes. You're like the funniest person I know. And laughing feels so good. Mom says it's like medicine, but medicine is gross, so I'm not sure what that means. But you're hilarious. I can already tell the world's a crazy place, but being able to laugh with you helps it seem not quite as scary. And I love how you're always teaching me cool stuff, like how to throw a ball or throw rocks, and how to make a bed or shave with a spoon. Even when we're just messing around, you give me this sense of strength and confidence just by being there and giving me your full attention. And it's so cool when I get to see where your strength and confidence come from and when you show me what matters most. I'll never forget that, Dad. You're the best. I want to be just like you when I grow up. Thanks for always being there, and thanks for being my hero. You rock, Dad. I love you.
Awesome. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Well, today our theme is armed and victorious, and I drank my coffee out of this cup today. Guys, I wish you would do that too and be reminded of what we're going to learn here today. Because it says armed and victorious, not armed and dangerous. You know, that's the first thing that came to my mind, armed and dangerous. I want to help you understand how we are armed. What are we armed with? Because we're talking, of course, a spiritual application here. I want you to read this with me, 1 Corinthians 4:15, from Scripture. The Apostle Paul said these words. Read it with me. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. What's the difference between an instructor and a father? I'm going to say, now more than ever, we need fathers in the world today. You know, I am shocked by what our children are being faced with, even in kindergarten these days, in first, second, and third grade. It's crazy. You've heard me comment on it, but all this gender confusion to begin with, and then bringing little children into conversations that I don't think that they need to be brought into or need to be coming from their parents. So, I mean, children, families need fathers more than ever. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Well, a father, he leads by example. Say that with me. A father leads by example. If you're just saying to your children, do as I say, but your actions are speaking so loudly that they can't hear what you're saying because they see what you're doing. You know, if you are a father here and you've raised children, you know how quickly your children can pick up your bad habits. It's just the way it is because they see and they want to be like you. But we want to be fathers that we practice what we preach. Amen. Don't want to be hypocrites. We're going to lay out an example for our children. So this term armed and dangerous or armed and victorious is a spiritual term. And I'm thinking about this week with the children. We wanted them to have a couple takeaways. And one of them was, by the way, the God squad, the little team of spiritual superheroes that had this ongoing drama every night. Our children, I tell you, parents, you can be really proud of your children. They pulled off that God squad. But one little saying that they had the whole group of children shouting all the time is, armor up, God squad. Armor up, God squad. You know, let's say it. Armor up, God squad. We need to be the God squad, the people of God. And I want you to learn today where your armor is and how to fight with that armor. Here's the verse on your cup, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's spiritual, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the next verse tells you what those strongholds are, thoughts and imaginations. That's the battlefield of the mind. We want to win that battle in the mind so that we can guard what comes out of our mouth. You know, too often, you know, we think it first and then we speak it. But when you speak it is when it becomes creative. You possess what you confess. You know, if everything that comes out of your mouth is dark and evil, that's how you're going to live. But if you can declare God's truth by what you are learning when we come together from God's word, let me tell you, you're going to make a difference. You can literally neutralize the curse in this world by speaking the word of God. Our children learned that there's a battle for my heart. Remember, there's a battle for my heart, you know, and they got emotions for everything to try to help them learn something. But let me tell you, there is a battle for the heart of people today. And the people of God, we have to learn how to walk strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I preached this last week to kind of lead into the whole armor of God series that we did with the children all week. But it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We're in a spiritual battle, folks. And I believe that there's a people of God, a church of Jesus Christ in these last days that are learning how to do spiritual warfare. Now, we're a church that's not afraid to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in the language of God, what the Bible calls unknown tongues. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to empower us today to cut through all the superficial stuff that the enemy uses to distract us. But you want to get one with God and get strong in the Lord. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 16, 19. He says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. You need a key to start that car, to open that door. If you don't have the right keys, let me tell you, you need the keys to open up this book to make it bring you wisdom for your life, not just to be religious, but to give you instruction, the Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth. Remember that acronym. But I just want you to understand that when we are teaching the Word of God on a Sunday and Wednesday and whenever, we're not teaching it to make you religious, but to make you strong in your walk with God to apply the principles, the keys to the kingdom. And so today I'm going to take you to the story that was preached all week long, the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. You can turn there. I'll put some things up on the screen so we can move quickly, because I want to close this message particularly asking the men here in the house today to make a covenant with God that we're going to step it up. Somebody say, step it up. Look at your man, ladies, and look at him right now and say, come on, step it up. Step it up. Because I mean it. We're living in a day that we never thought we would come to. And no matter how strong you are in the natural, unless you're strong in the spiritual, you can be so quickly sifted in the world today. So David, he had a victory over a giant. If there's a giant in your life, and I said this in the early service, there is a battle in your life. You're either going to find it or it'll find you, but there's a battle in your future. In David's life, he stumbled onto this battle. Remember, David had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And I don't think his brothers or his fathers really believed it. They sent him back out into the field to shepherd the flocks, and his brothers went to battle in Saul's army. But here's David showing up one day here in this story to bring food to his brothers. You know how the story goes. And there's some things that made him rise above, even at, say, maybe 15 years old, to rise above all the trained fighting men and even King Saul when David showed up. I want to help you understand those leadership keys today. Here's the first one. David asked this question to his older brother. Is there not a cause? A cause. You know, remember what happened? David showed up, and first stop was his oldest brother. And his brother heard David saying, why isn't anybody fighting this giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? And his big brother said, who do you think you are? You know, I know how conceited you are. You know, you probably think that that anointing you had to be to become king was authentic and genuine. You know, you probably think that really happened. You know, I don't know what his brother's discussion might have had, but to hear David say, what have I done? Is there not a cause? What did he mean by that? It's so important that we understand that term, because David was walking with a sense awareness of a spiritual cause in the world today. We call it today the kingdom of God that we're a part of. Everybody else there was shaking and afraid. And here David is saying, wait a minute, God is with us. You know, why isn't somebody doing something about this? And I want to say, if you don't have a cause, and men, I'm speaking to you particularly today, if you don't have a cause for fighting and winning the battle for your marriage, the battle for your children, the battle for your home, for your business, for your life, let me tell you, you will never have the right fight to win that battle. Everybody at the battlefront in this story, they were dressed for battle. They were trained for battle, but there was no fight going on. I'm calling some fathers and some men of God in the world today to rise up and learn the battle. Because without a cause, without the cause of Christ, the Apostle Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. He was living his life with God's purpose in mind. Without a cause, you just have a lame because. Now, I learned that because when we were raising our kids, our first two children were daughters, and they're probably watching, so I got to get this right. But we started something in our home early on that we had a family night, and we'd stay in and play with the children. We wouldn't take them somewhere. We just, you know, focus on them and do things they wanted to do in the house. So this particular night, we're on the living room floor playing with our 2-year-old and 5-year-old. That's Michelle and Amy. And all of a sudden, Amy disappeared for too long. You know, when that happens, you gotta go look what's going on. But anyway, I only know that because when she came back, she walked to the edge of the living room. She had a scissors in one hand and a handful of hair in the other. She had given herself a funky haircut, you know. And I think I shocked her. I said, Amy! And why did you do that? She said, because. I said, because why? Because. She was scared. All she could say was because. That was a lame excuse. But she was so cute. Amy, we loved you right through it all. But it's such a good example, because until we learn how to fight with our faith and what our weapons of battle are, you know, we're just always looking around wondering, why is this happening to me? Becoming a victim, looking for somebody to blame. But I want you to learn how to fight. A cause is a reason for doing something. It's a grounds for action. It's seeing something deeper than the external problem. You know, I'm going to be helping you understand today that the weapons of our warfare are located right inside of us. And so many times we say, well, go to the Bible and find the answer. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is the answer. And he lives inside of you. And the character and the virtue of Christ is found in the fruit of the Spirit. The 9 fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, and there's others. But those virtues, by the way, you drove over when you came to church today. You drove over them, and I got them. They're so important to us. They're painted on the road, and you drove over them. But Jeanette, I remember one day when you won the battle in our home with the fruit of the Spirit of joy. You might not remember this, but we were arguing. Imagine that. We were arguing at the table. Now, this was a long time ago, so don't worry about our marriage, okay? It'll be 48 years this year, married, 48 years. But I remember this because it was so extraordinary. We're arguing, and, you know, it was already beyond the point of just spirited discussion. And but all of a sudden, Jeanette stopped, and she just started laughing. And, you know, my first thought was, this isn't appropriate, you know, because I was planning to win that argument. I knew I was right. You know what I mean? She starts laughing, and before I knew it, it was not just, you know, a superficial laugh. It's a deep belly laugh. She falls off of her chair. She's rolling around laughing on the floor, and then I started laughing, and I couldn't stop it, and I got down on the floor with her. We're both rolling around on the floor laughing, and the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, here's what I've discovered. We are not only armed and victorious, but we're armed and contagious. Because when you start using love or joy as a weapon, man, it creates a difference in the atmosphere. Love, God is love, perfect love, casts out all fear. When we start learning how to use what's already inside of us as a weapon, then we can defeat the enemy. And I'll tell you what, we need this more than ever before in the world. Let me show how it works on this second point. Something else that David demonstrates to us as a leadership key, he rejected the negative. I mean, he could have picked up that argument with his brother and had some words, but the Bible says he just turned away. Sometimes you just have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Such a great song. But we don't sing that for worship, so I'm not going to get any further than that, okay? But here's what I want you to see by this picture. Even if the whole crowd around you is negative, you can make a difference by speaking the word of the Lord, speaking a positive word, speaking the fruit of the Spirit. David turned away. If you've got nothing to say, just turn away. Don't fight that battle. In our homes many times, what starts out as just a disagreement or an argument, it starts creating a seed of strife in the home that's hard to get rid of. The Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. So I'm telling you that we have to learn how to respond when something begins. The Bible says in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Here's a word about anger. I want to give you Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger is a normal God-given emotion. And it's okay to get angry. But the Bible says, don't let that anger remain longer than that day. Make it resolve. Ask forgiveness. Forgive one another. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, so you don't give place to the devil. And I believe that there's a way for us to apply this in a very practical way. In James 3:18, just a couple verses from the one I have on the screen there, it says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Being a peacemaker in God's sight is better than being right, because we don't know if we're right. When I had that argument, I thought I was right. So bless God, I was going to drive it home. But if you want to be righteous, meaning being right in the sight of God, be a peacemaker. be a peacemaker. And I'm calling out to fathers today, to covenant today. You know, you have a chance every day to make a change, to redefine yourself as a father, as a husband. And make that decision today to use the weapons of God's life that's inside of you to overcome the enemy who's trying to sow seeds of bitterness, anger, and strife in your home and in your family. I like to tell people, let's get better and not bitter. We get better by just addressing the situation with a heart of forgiveness and understanding. Here's a third thing I see in the life of David in this story. Today, if you're going to make a covenant to make some changes in some area, I challenge you to let your wife know when you get home that you're making a commitment to make some changes or some things you're going to do differently. David, he made an outward expression of what his intentions were. You can't just think it in your heart. You say, well, I know what's wrong in my life. I know what's wrong in my home, but just knowing what's right or wrong isn't going to make any change. You know, I've always heard people getting ready to start a diet. I never hear people saying, I'm going to decide to go off my diet. We're always starting, right? But why do we say we're starting? Because we'd say that so we can make a commitment, that we can have accountability. You tell your friend, your best friend, I'm gonna do something different. I'm going to start. I'm asking the men to make that covenant today. And we're going to do it with our communion at the close. Don't just think it, but speak it. Tell someone. Declaration activates faith, which activates God. Today, men, as your wife and your children are saying Happy Father's Day, you have an opportunity to respond back to them and tell your wife how much you love her. Say, well, she knows I love her. Well, just tell her. And tell her with some new adjectives. Tell her she's gorgeous. Maybe you're not comfortable with that. Tell her she's precious. Tell your children that they never have to worry about mom and dad separating or divorcing. That your mom and dad are going to stay married. Boy, that'll relieve them because half of their classroom don't have dad at home, according to statistics. You know, it's so important that we make these declarations because we're living in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that operates by what's spoken. Remember I told you, you can win the battle in your mind. You can think things, having bad thoughts, everybody does. But acting on those thoughts, that's where the sin is. What we want to do is take authority over those thoughts and imaginations and guard what comes out of your mouth. Because the Bible says either blessings or cursings are coming out of your mouth. You know, Jeanette and I, we talk a lot when we get behind this pulpit. We tell stories on ourselves because that's how we learned. And I remember getting up for years, you know, and being so concerned about getting to work on time, even though I was the boss. You know, I got to be in work. I got to be an example. I got to get to work on time. And I look at my watch and be around the table trying to get our kids breakfast and get them off to school. And daddy's got to get to work on time. And then I want to do the right thing. I kiss my wife and out the door. Well, one day I was getting ready to kiss my wife out the door. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you're already late. So why don't you take a little more time in that kiss with your wife today? And so I thought, why? You know, she knows I love her. She knows I kiss her, you know. So, but I heard what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. So instead of just a quick pecking out the door, I threw her on the bed and I deep kissed her. We sang that sloppy wet kisses. You know, I deep kissed her. You know what? I had no idea how much that meant to her. But when I got home that day, I had my favorite dinner on the table. You know, I had her taking care of me. Like, I tell you what, that extra 5 seconds was well worth it. But sometimes you got to just make a declaration to yourself and maybe to your wife, to your children, that you're going to do things different. Amen. How about it, dads? We need godly men, godly fathers, godly husbands in the world today like never before. And in this church, spiritual moms and dads. Because when we have these camps, I mean, we had just with our church 190 children, you know, that we were responsible to look after. We have other churches bring their kids, and it's a big task. But a lot of these kids, you know, are from families whose parents don't come to church, but they just drop their kids off, you know, type thing. Well, let me tell you, their kids were down here getting saved, getting healed, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. We gave the children the instruction about that. Said, how many of you want to have your prayer language? And the whole platform was filled. And we said, we're just going to do like in the book of Acts. You know, we're going to pray in English for a while. And then we're going to just ask you to ask Jesus for this prayer language. And we're going to lay hands on you. We started laying hands on these kids. They start going down. Nobody pushing them around. They're just going down and they're laying there. And I started whispering to some of them, just start speaking now. Start speaking. They open their mouth and they're speaking in tongues. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not that easy with adults. But the children. And I'm so thrilled with that because this next generation, they're facing so many more things than what we were ever facing. And we've got to help them become strong in the Lord. Declaration. Declaration activates faith. And that activates God. God's not moved by your need. He's moved by your faith. Do something differently, men. And watch and see what God's going to do. It's like the little boy's lunch. Jesus was about to feed 15,000 people. And he said, do we have any food? And the disciples were saying, well, no. Should we go buy food? I mean, here's a little boy with a lunch. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus said, give it to me. I need you to give me something that I can multiply. Fathers today, give God something that he can multiply. Do something differently. Dig a little deeper and see what God will do. I'm going to say this too. The couple that prays together stays together. Pray together. Pray out loud. Confess your faults one to another, the Bible says. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. I got this picture up here because whatever situation you're facing in your life, it might seem like a mountain. I get that. But if you want to climb that mountain, if you want to overcome that situation, it might be a temptation that you've failed with repeatedly. You'd like to change that way. It might be just a point of conduct in your life you want to change. You've got to start somewhere. Start climbing that mountain and tell somebody that you're going to go on that spiritual diet. Amen, somebody? Somebody say amen. Here's the last one I want to give you here today. Reach for your own armor. Remember the story where Saul wanted to put his armor on David, and David's a little boy, and Saul, the Bible says, was head and shoulders above everybody else. We had that illustration this week, and somebody put an adult garment on a little child up here, you know, and the sleeves were hanging to the floor, you know. But even a child has armor. David just had a slingshot. You can't kill a giant with a slingshot. Yes, you can. With the power of God, you can. So I want to say today, David, when he said, I can't use this armor, I've not proved it. You prove something by experience. And, you know, you're always going to have people trying to tell you, do it this way, do it that way. I'm going to ask you, what do you have experience with? What is God doing in you? God wants to supply and multiply something that he's given you. So what do you have? I'm going to put it up on the screen here. And I don't think I put this in your notes, but you can find it in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not only love, joy, and peace. You've got long suffering as a weapon. the ability to show patience, the ability to be kind and gentle. That's the God in you. Goodness, benevolence, faith, faithfulness, meekness, humility, self-control. You've got that because God's got that and God is in you. So when you walk into that room and all your kids are throwing pillows and tearing the room up, you know, and you're just about ready to let them have it, instead, you can call on a little patience, long-suffering by the Spirit of God. You can bring peace to that. If you get in there and you start yelling, what's that going to do? Not only is it going to maybe traumatize them, but it's going to give them that memory of your parenting skills. Well, Dad always gets angry. How would you like your children to say, you know, my dad, you know, instead you come in that room and say, hey, kids, you know what? You're not supposed to be doing this. And now we're going to have to all clean this together. We're going to work together to get it cleaned up. And you have that opportunity to get your arms around your kids. How can you do that? Because these are your weapons. The weapons that we warfare with are not carnal. Carnalness would be to get angry. Yeah, maybe do something you shouldn't do. Smack them, right? And we used to do that when I was growing up. You can't do that today. You know, your kids can call a number and you're going to have to bail out of jail. That's today. My kids, my parents didn't know that. Well, they didn't have that back then, and I got the board of instruction to the seat of understanding many times. Even one time I put a book down there. My mom said, you got to go see your dad. Put a book down there to go see my dad. Boy, did I get it that time, as if he wouldn't see it, right? Yeah, God bless you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for raising me right. Amen. You didn't spare the rod and spoil the child. I want you to look at those. You have those weapons available to you. And just like when Jeanette used joy, just instinctively, and God allowed her to use joy, and it brought joy to my heart because we are armed and contagious. We're going to create this environment in our homes, guys. We're going to create this environment in our places of business. God in you will make you successful at everything that you do. Let me wrap this up. A couple other verses. Ephesians 5:25 say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. That's an unconditional love. How can you do that? Because you've got God's love in you. Another verse that is important to me today. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, deal with your wives according to knowledge, God's word knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers be not hindered. I want to say this to the men. God's empowered you to be the priest of your home. Now, that doesn't mean to be the preacher in your home, but to be the prayer. To be the prayer. A priest connects people to God. It's like a mediator between God and man. Be the one that always offers prayer to your wife, to your children. That would be a good step up, stand up, takeaway from today's word. And of course, the Bible's talking about the armor of God. We got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness. All of these armors are a part of our spiritual man. I want to close on this verse. That wraps up this story here of David and Goliath. Because today, for communion, I want the men particularly to make a covenant. Communion is a covenant. And it's a covenant that God, it represents a covenant that God made with us. He gave his blood. His body was broken so we could be whole. His blood was shed for our salvation. And so we, every time we take communion, you know, we're drawn to Jesus. He said, remember me when you do this. Remember the covenant. And it's a covenant of eternal life as well. But today, I want you to make a covenant, men, today, that you're going to really step up your leadership as a man of God. You're going to recognize the cause of God, the cause of Christ, that's upon your life. Reject the negative. You're going to recognize your armor and step out and apply these things that we learned today. I'm going to ask the ushers and elders to pass out the communion elements today, but I want to ask the men to come up to the front. We're going to be served up here. Could you just stand at the front?